Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I'm so glad you joined us today. It's going to be a great half hour. God bless you with courage to do the extraordinary, for He created you with that in mind. And I think of Hebrews 10:35. So let's not cast away our confidence, which has a great reward, for we have need of endurance, so that when we have done what God has promised, the will of God, He will give us that reward. Oh, praise God. I am so glad that you are with me today. I'm glad that we're one in spirit, because I may not see some of you listening today ever on this earth, but oh, we're going to have a great reunion in heaven. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to it. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And thank you, Lord, for Kimberly Joe Duell, who is willing to come on the radio every Wednesday and teach us some wonderful revelation. And welcome to the program, Kimberly.
Oh, thank you. I was just praying, too, that He would be honored today. That is my one heart's desire, is that God would be honored and lifted up and exalted, that it would be His words going out. That's what matters to me most. And this week, He's been revealing to me, well, let me just start with Hebrews 12:24. It's the best way to start. Start okay. with scripture.
Yes.
Hebrews 12:24 says, "You have come to Jesus, the one who brought the new agreement from God to His people. He's the mediator of a new covenant.
Oh, praise God.
You have come to the sprinkled blood that tells us about better things than the blood of Abel."
Mm-hmm.
So Abel's blood is the blood that cries out for justice.
Yes.
It's a murder that happened, and it was not fair. So when I think of Abel's blood, I'm thinking of situations that are not fair, that really are hurtful, and that are crying out for justice.
Yes.
Jesus' blood, this new covenant that He has made with us in this new way of thinking, His blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus' blood is about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I can picture Him just on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There it was, right there. His new way of thinking is in the very worst situation, in the worst pain any human being can endure. He's covering people. He's covering His creation,
yes,
with forgiveness. So I was talking with Levi, and he and I like to talk about words. We enjoy long words and word games. We enjoy that. And I was asking him to help me with this play on words that I was wanting to do. And so he was helping me by saying, "Okay, Mom, what is a key for?" A key is for giving access to things.
Mm-hmm.
A key card can open doors and give freedom. So it's for giving freedom.
Yes.
Celebrations. What are celebrations for? They are for giving recognition to people and giving gifts. That's what celebrations are for.
Mm-hmm.
For giving gifts. Or prescription eyeglasses. What are they for? They are for giving better vision.
Yes.
For giving sight to people who would otherwise be a little blind.
Mm-hmm.
A manual or instructions, they are for giving instruction to people. A fire is for giving warmth and light. Now, maybe some of you caught it. I keep saying forgiving, like a cure. A cure to a disease is forgiving remission to that cure.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving brings freedom. It brings sight. It brings instruction. It brings warmth and light. That's what forgiving does. Forgiving. Jesus forgave us, brought us remission and instruction, freedom, and the letting loose, letting go of captives. It brought us gifts, better vision, sight to the blind. That is what Jesus spoke over his people. And this is over all people. Now, it made me sit and think, well, what prevents us from giving others warmth and light, freedom and sight, gifts, instruction, and remission? For me, it's usually a lack of trust.
Yes.
You know, I'll just talk about myself here. And when I look back at the times that I was being rather stingy with forgiveness, it's because I wanted others to prove to me they were worthy of it before I would give them anything at all.
That's right. Yes.
Well, is that how God gave us Jesus? Did he wait until humanity was worth it? Until they were worthy of it? No, he did not. In fact, looking for the scripture, it says that all have sinned. All have sinned.
Yes.
There's not one who is righteous. No, not one. And while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, God showed how much he loved us by sending us Jesus as the sacrifice and to make us right with him.
Yes.
So having that knowledge makes me want to be more like him, but wow, I realize I'm not. I am not like him. And I need to be able to just let go of what I'm calling forgiveness snobbery. Snobbery.
Okay.
I'm a forgiveness snob, and I want to let go of that completely. I do not want to be snobby about who I'm going to forgive and who I'm not going to forgive. Right? I mean, that's our goal. We're constantly searching to be more like Christ and looking for what it looks like to become like him. And the more time that I spend in the Word of God and in the presence of the Lord in prayer and in worship, the more I see I've got a long way to go.
Yes.
There are some people that I really do want to see forgiven, and there are others that I want to see them pay for their sin. You know, I'm just being honest about that. And when I look at the Word of God, I realize that's not how Jesus came. It's not how he taught us to be like him. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I received a prayer request for a group in Nigeria who were attacked. Hundreds of boys and girls were taken hostage, including a retired pastor's wife. And her son fought to defend her and was very badly wounded in the struggle.
Mm.
He's in the hospital fighting for his life right now, and his sweet mama was taken anyway.
Mm.
You know, I was just so angry when I heard that report. Wow,
yes.
That is not fair. That is so wrong.
Yes.
And it brought me back to that idea of Abel and that murderer crying out for justice, you know, that Abel's blood. Whoa, that was not fair.
No,
that was so wrong for a brother to just kill his brother because he had a better sacrifice. Oh, and then that brought me to Hebrews 12:24 that we read. And let me just read it again.
Mm-hmm.
You have come to Jesus, the one who brought the new agreement from God to his people. He is the mediator of a new covenant. And you have come to the sprinkled blood that tells us about better things than the blood of Abel.
Mm.
Another translation says the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And I believe Abel's blood is crying out for justice. The word that Jesus' blood speaks is forgiveness.
Yes.
Forgiveness.
Yes.
Forgiveness.
Can you imagine how many people have been murdered and killed unfairly? Unfairly. Mm-hmm. It's just like the October 7th attack on these precious Jewish people asleep in their kibbutzes in Israel.
Yeah.
Now, you were just in Israel a year ago, Kimberly.
And yeah, right now.
What if that would have happened? And these people are crying out for justice when the whole world is flying the flags of the people that murdered them and have taken them hostage. How unfair.
It looks so unfair, doesn't it?
So unfair, yes.
Yeah. And so then when we see something that's not fair, we're usually crying out for justice.
Yes.
But the blood of Jesus speaks a better word.
Mm.
He speaks forgiveness. And I know what I am talking about today is a pretty challenging subject. But when you say, you know, how unfair it is with this, with these things that happen, how many people have been murdered on this planet, and it's so unfair. Really, you're talking about Jesus. He went through the same thing. He was murdered.
Yes.
And he was the most pure and holy one on the planet. So talk about being unfair. Mm-hmm. You know, so I choose to spend time picturing our precious Lord hanging on the cross. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? He pleads with his Father. He says, Father, forgive them.
Yes.
They do not know what they're doing.
That's right. Yes.
And he is coming for a bride who will speak that better word with him. A bride who will choose forgiveness, choose the better word. So it was with tears yesterday after I received that prayer request for these people that were just taken hostage and the wounding of that pastor's wife. I was crying. I was crying angry tears and tears of grief. And I just went to my face and I began interceding. And I chose to intercede for the ones who were responsible for disrupting that peaceful community, saying, Father, forgive them. Just choosing Jesus, his example, and saying, Father, forgive them. They need your light and your love to break through their hardened hearts and open up their blind eyes. Do a miracle. Do a miracle for us in their hearts. Set those captives free. Those men that did that, they're the ones that are captive. Set them free.
That's right.
And then bring all those loved ones that were kidnapped. Bring them home. Bring them home to their families, God. Do a double miracle.
If they, for instance, are killed in the process, Kimberly, like so many hostages, I think back of Hamas and so many hostages there that probably have died being a hostage. And that wonderful sense of forgiveness must come into the hearts of the fathers and mothers. Just the other day, Kimberly, I asked the Lord to forgive me for having a critical eye, a judgmental eye. Every time I look at people, I'm judging them. When a person walks in front of me who's 400 pounds, I'm immediately judging them. And I said, Father, I don't want this anymore. I bind it and I send it to hell where it came from. Because, Kimberly, your attitude is the attitude that's going to change lives, not that critical, judgmental attitude. We've got to have attitudes of love and mercy and grace to these people because we desire that no one goes to hell. So I totally agree with you. I really do.
That's God's desire, and it's our desire with him. And the other reason we want to give forgiveness to others is because we've received so much. You know, we might keep those thoughts to ourselves. Here's the big discussion, and I have friends who are overweight. So the big discussion is, you know, you can see someone's gluttony and what they're reaching for.
Yes.
When you see someone who's overweight, and bless them, a heavy burden to carry.
Yes.
That is a heavy burden to carry. You might not see your thought, your judgmental thought, or my critical thought. You might not see those things. It is not any less a sin.
Amen.
The things that are hidden must come out of the dark into the light and let God be the one. And you're just so right. Taking that judgment, the criticism and judgment out of our minds, out of our hearts, and let God do that and speak the better words, speak forgiveness. Well, how many times a day has God had to forgive me for my thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And if we will stay focused on that, we will be better at forgiving other people.
That's right.
Because our thoughts go astray and they take us far from the sanctuary that God intended us to be. We're not a sanctuary when we're thinking thoughts like that.
That's right.
That's not a sanctuary for our Lord. And I'll be the first one to admit that I haven't been that. But, oh, for some reason, this is the year that God has been ever with me, ever present on a daily, moment by moment basis, just continually reminding me that it's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's not my opinions. You're all having to hear me talk about opinions over and over. And it's just not about that. It's about Him. It's His kingdom being established. It's His agendas, His goals. I want His dream to come true.
Yes.
And I want Him to start in me by routing all of the horrible thoughts that have kept Him from my heart and make my heart a sanctuary for Him.
Yes, I really love the prayer that you emailed to me with some of your notes today. Father, forgive them. These are the perpetrators. Father, forgive them. They need your light and your love to break through their hardened hearts and open their blind eyes. Do a miracle in their hearts. Set the captives free and then bring the loved ones home to their families. This is such a beautiful prayer, Kimberly, because in Ephesians 1:18, it says that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened through God's love and wisdom and understanding. And that's what we pray for them. We pray for them that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I believe when we do that, we are joining God in agreement with Him. It's His heart's desire and His dream that everyone will know Him as Lord. And I found that scripture in Hebrews 8:11. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11 says, the result of this will be that everyone will know me as Lord.
Praise God.
I want that for him. Oh, and verse 12 goes on to say, for I will demonstrate my mercy to them and will forgive their evil deeds and never remember again their sins.
Oh. Praise the Lord.
Oh, that's why we want to speak forgiveness, because He does. And if you're in a place today where you feel like God just can't forgive you, listen to this scripture again. Hebrews 8, verse 11 and 12. The result of this will be that everyone will know me as Lord, including you who are listening today. God says, for I will demonstrate my mercy to you and will forgive you of your evil deeds and never remember again your sins.
That's right. And it comes from an Old Testament scripture, a God of love in the Old Testament scriptures. You know, so many people say, well, I don't like to read the Old Testament. He's always killing people and hitting people over the head. Well, it was punishment for some people. But here he has a God of absolute love in Jeremiah 31. And that whole chapter is about a God who is merciful and loving to even the people who are disobedient. Oh, what a wonderful God.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think of the Old Testament a whole lot like trying to train up toddlers.
Okay. All right. And we are a bunch of toddlers.
Well, the reason why I think of it that way is because toddlers need rules. You've got to have some boundaries in place for toddlers. If you just let a toddler run out into the street, the chances of them being hit by a car are great, really great. You know, so you've got to have the boundary and the rule, you don't step out into the street. Okay.
That's right.
So you've got to have these rules for you. You've got to tell them the fire is hot so they don't go put their hand in the fireplace.
Yes.
They have to have rules, and it's for their safety.
That's right.
So I look at the Old Testament as being a bunch of rules for the safety of a bunch of toddlers.
That's right. Oh, one day I remember when you were at this school, kindergarten school, and you enjoyed it so much until we found out that you were praying prayers to the sun and moon. But that's another subject.
Right, yeah, I know. I remember all of this. You pulled me right out of there.
Well, one day I was coming to pick you up to take you to daycare, and here you were walking along that busy 16th Street in Greeley, Colorado, with a friend, and you were mm-hmm. just talking to each other. Man, I picked you up. I took you to the school, and I said, they were walking on 16th Street. If you don't do something about it, I am going to go to your board. And I don't know what happened after that. But when I saw that you were walking along that busy street, just wanted to, it was so unfair for me to see my child walking that way. Yeah.
And right. So there was obviously a missed rule or some kind of boundary that was crossed. And, you know, maybe it was me. I was breaking over, you know, I was stepping over the line. I think of myself as a rule follower, but I wouldn't put it past me to actually rebel because I'm human.
Yes, you are. And you love life. I mean, you want to get outdoors with your friend and just go exploring a little bit instead of sitting in that classroom. Yes.
Yeah. And to this day, I know that it's not customary and it's not recommended that the things in nature that you see, that you put them in your mouth and taste them. I know that. I know these things.
Right.
And I still taste almost everything that I see that I think
know.
Is pretty. It goes in my mouth. And if it's really bitter, I can tell when it's poisonous and I spit it out and rinse my mouth with water. But I'm one of those.
I
love to taste.
Even in my yard, when we're walking in my yard, you see a little bush with some berries and you just pick the berries. I don't know if it's poisonous or not.
I know. I was weed eating in your yard and found a new plant and tasted it and thought, oh, this tastes so good. And I looked it up and realized it's a really good plant. Now I can't remember what it was, but if I'm on with you tomorrow, if we have a live show tomorrow, I'll look that up and find out what that was, because I found out it has a lot of minerals and vitamins and it raises your immune system. So I was putting that in my salad after I found
it. What did the pioneers do? They when mm-hmm. they were in wagons, they would just pick from the forage from the ground and from the things mm-hmm. that they were passing through with their wagons and use it, like you said, with salads and all kinds of things. And it's just really
so changed. I'm not sure how we got all the way over here in our conversation, but to bring it back to Hebrews 8:11, God's desire is for mercy.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes we cross those boundaries and he's put up rules and boundaries in the Old Testament that look really harsh. And really later in the New Testament, he's showing us this is about relationship, people.
Yes. Yes.
This is about my people and me in relationship. And that's what we want to keep our eyes focused on, is relationship with him. As we grow and we mature, we are coming into relationship. And I think that's what we were talking about, relationship with nature. You start realizing which things are going to be poisonous. I don't just haphazardly put everything in my mouth. I've learned a lot over the years. And I know what things would be really, really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not recommending to any of you out there to do what I do.
That's right.
I'm not recommending it. But I do want to say that we come into relationship with God and with nature and with others. And that's different than a set of rules.
Yes.
And when Jesus came to give us this new covenant and this new relationship with him, he did it in such a way to allow himself to feel the most excruciating pain and to be murdered in the most unjust way. And in the midst of that, he spoke a better word. He decided to say, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And do you know, Jesus did not wait for the Romans to stop that crucifixion before he spoke that forgiveness over them. He did not wait for the religious people to stop mocking him. And they didn't stop. The crucifixion went on until he was actually dead. And the mocking, I'm sure, the mocking continued. They did not stop after he spoke forgiveness over them. His forgiveness covered them while they were sinning, while they were continuing to crucify him and murder him, while they were continuing to laugh at him and mock him. Mm-hmm. The King of the universe, the one who created it all, he allowed that and he covered them in forgiveness. His forgiveness covers us in our lowest low places, the darkest dark places, as well as the highest snobby, suffocating, prideful places. Mm-hmm. And I've been there too. That's how he covers us. And let me read Romans 5, 8 through 10 again. Yes. But Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And by this, God showed how much he loves us. We have been made right with God by the blood sacrifice of Christ. So through Christ, we will surely be saved from God's anger. I mean that while we were God's enemies, he made friends with us through his son's death.
Praise God.
And the fact that we are now God's friends makes it even more certain that he will save us through his son's life.
Mm. What translation is that?
What a good way to end today.
Oh, yes. What translation is that?
I believe that is the easy to read version.
ESV. Uh-huh. Okay, a lot of people are using that. Yes. What a beautiful way to end this program, Kimberly. Knowing that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love was so deep as to even see us in our sin. Oh, thank you so much. God bless you.
And we say to all of you out there, don't take the cares of the world. Instead, take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.